Hello, welcome back to Seeking Scale. Andy, how's it going?
Not too bad. Yeah, definitely stress levels like steadily increasing as we approach the due date, which, yeah, we're about 30 days out, become more real. And yeah. It's just like, I'm someone who there's all those productivity hacks of like, oh, give yourself this deadline to get it done. It's like, if it's a deadline I made up, I'm not going to follow it. Like, it's just like, it needs to be like a real deadline that is enforced by something completely out of my control. A baby being born is absolutely that. And when those things happen, I'm definitely more of an anxious person. And so it's like a shit, like, okay, you just go into planning mode where I'm just like, yeah, here are all like 100 things I said I wanted to do around the house before the baby comes. Can't do all these, like can do maybe 5. So like, what ones am I going to do? And then like, oh yeah, we've got these other trips planned, like day trips, or we're going to visit people and things like that. It's like, yeah, that's going to be tough. And so the reality of the time crunch is definitely kicking in. And then, I mean, I feel like we've got the stuff we need. We have, the house is set up and is fine. It's more just like comfort things that we're trying to get set up, but it's then balancing all that with SaberSim. And so this week really just shifted into probably a more productive mindset of saying, okay, stop thinking about new stuff and just figure out like, how do we get everything, like how do we get planning clear for the next quarter? How do we get priorities clear for the team so that they're able to keep moving forward while I take some time off? And so that's been the big thing this week, is just that shift. It's wrapping up any of these like projects that were newer and then saying like nothing, like putting a lid on it, like nothing new. I'm just going to work with you guys on explaining like, oh yeah, no one else really knows, like has dealt with like the marketing site host, Kinsta. It's like, I do that. Or like a WordPress dev we haven't worked with in a year does that. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so it's like, yeah, I should probably document that. And it's like, oh yeah, the due date's June 30th. That's the end of the quarter. We should probably do the quarterly planning much sooner than that. Yeah. And so we're doing it next week. And it's just like a lot of those things that when I feel like something's far enough away, I'm like, oh, I'll get to those details like when I have to. And like right now I'm like, oh no, I have to. So yeah, that's kind of my stress.
I'll throw the wrinkle in there that like my daughter was 11 days late. And so like it could, in the first child, it typically is more likely to be late than subsequent ones. So like, yeah, could be that you have extra time, which would be cool, I think.
Found a labor probability calculator.
Okay. This is right up y'all's alley, right?
Yeah, exactly. It plots the distribution.
Wait, are you betting on this? I need to know. Is there money on this?
I don't think it's like for money.
Okay.
Maybe they are. I don't know. There's been like predictions, but yeah. So it's like odds of spontaneous labor occurring today, 0.46%. So like pretty low. By this time next week, 4.5%. And then kind of like ramps up towards the due date. But then like the highest probability is looks like a week after the due date. And then it just like pretty much like a week after that, then they induce. And so,
yeah,
there's like the, there's a threshold on the late side, but it's earlier. It's just hard to know. But I mean, with Matt, his was a bit late and it actually was like very fortunate for us, whereas like we were getting bent up to speed at the time, baseball was starting, and this was like the first real test of Matt like being completely checked out. And so like I think we had like an extra week, and that actually like made us, I don't know if it technically made a difference, but it made us feel way more comfortable. And so fortunately, I'm not like, the timing of this is where we're at a pretty good spot with the team. There's not much data that relies on me. There's a lot that won't have progress made, but it's sort of those things that like I haven't been making progress on to begin with because like I'm more managing and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see how it all shakes out.
Yeah. Nice. It's exciting.
How are things on your end?
Things are good. Our retreat is, by the time this episode goes out, our retreat will have already happened, but it's next week. Yeah, excited. Everything
Did
is
you say Chicago?
Chicago. Yep. Going for, you know, like 3 days basically. Basically 3 days. It'll be good. Yeah, about 2/3 the team is able to make it in person, which is pretty good considering everything. So yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing that's like applicable to this will be kind of laying out like a much more structured approach to feedback and reviews. I'm using a tool called 15.5 for that. And yeah, just like excited to get that into place. And I think that one thing I've kind of come to realize is like my management style is like by its very nature, very laid back. And I think that's cool because it makes me like a cool boss and like not stressful to work with. The downside is I often don't say things because they're not important to me, but they're important to other people. And I don't realize that. And so having a dedicated kind of way and avenue and channel for these things to be discussed is going to be really helpful.
Could you give like an, doesn't even like not like a literal example, but what kind of things are not important to you, but often important to?
Yeah, I have a really good example that I can talk about. So we have team members in other countries, and we had a policy before of when it's a holiday in the US, but it's not a holiday where you live, just figure it out. Like you can take that holiday or you can celebrate US holidays and make it up another day. And what I was doing unintentionally was basically saying, I don't want to decide. You decide what you think is right and that like I won't get mad at, right? Like I wasn't intending to say that, but that's how a lot of people perceived it. So instead, what we said is, because this was brought up in like one of our discussions. And so what we said is, okay, here is the rule. The rule is you take your local holidays. And some of those overlap with US holidays like Christmas and New Year's and Easter and all those. Some don't, like Independence Day in Montenegro doesn't overlap with a holiday in the US. And so the person that lives there takes that day off and then works Memorial Day, for example. And so like, it's just a lot of those kind of things. But also like, I'll say like micro performance feedback also of like, hey, you know, I noticed that the last couple of times we did this, this thing happened or this thing didn't happen. We need a place to talk about that. And it's not in Slack because that gets misconstrued and understood wrong and stuff like that. And like, we need a place to have those discussions, document them, follow up on them next time. We do that in Notion now with like our one-on-ones that I have with folks every other week, but it's just not, it's not organized enough. And so just putting a lot more structure around like these regular one-on-ones that we have and then quarterly 360 degree feedback.
For you, for everybody, or?
Everybody, okay. Yeah.
Will you have a facilitator do that, or is it just kind of you'll do it?
We'll just do it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, using a you know, pretty big chunk of the first day of the meeting to talk about this and talk about why and answer the questions that you're asking and things like that. And to kind of lay out like, hey, here's the tool. Here's how we're going to use it. Here's when it's going to start. All these kinds of things. And this is important for me to say for myself, like, hey, the reason for this is not so I can be a jerk, right? It's just so that you can know where you stand and I can have a place to talk productively about things. And it's not a one-liner in Slack, because that's like our worst nightmare, I think, when it comes to like tracking and understanding and communicating things effectively.
There's one part of that, like, it's a lot of directions I could go with this, but one part that jumps up to me is that struggle's not the right word, but it's something I think a lot about, where it's that balance. You talked about like the smaller detail, like the micro feedback, and how I'm curious how in general you view like micromanagement. When, because the areas where you are not the expert, you can't micromanage. And some people still try to, but it's just like how are you not going to help? Like they obviously know, not even necessarily the best way, but like they know more than you do about the thing. So it's like a fool's errand to try to micromanage something that you can't actually do. But it's like on those other areas where you do have like, as for you, the founder, but like the CEO, you have the vision of where things are trying to go, and oftentimes like a pretty clear vision. How do you balance how precise to be with it and how much to keep pushing back? Because I have absolutely in the last 6 months made a conscious choice of being more detail oriented. And it's not as like I'm delivering the ultimate project, but I would much rather lean towards like, let's get this right. And for a lot of it, it's like, what's right is going to be like my judgment. So I often still like have to catch myself when I know I'm too deep into it. And so it's like with the, we released like, it was funny where it's, we adjusted how a lot of the elements were laid out in the workflows of a lot of the, like, the processes in SaberSim. The goal was to make it more intuitive because there's a feature that people who use it swear by and like truly like will not play DFS without using. It's called like the entry editor, but it was just like really weird part. Like it just didn't fit in with everything else that he was doing. So you had to sort of seek it out and it just always felt disjointed. And so we wanted more people to use it. And we knew that if we made it more intuitive, that would work. It's like along with that layout change, it's like, oh, like a lot of these other layout things don't make sense either. Like let's just standardize it. And it snowballed a bit. And then finally I had to stop myself because I'm just like looking at like the feedback I'm giving. And it's not as though like, do I disagree with this feedback? No. But like when I started getting down things that to me, like it sounds stupid, but it does matter. But like, yeah, these are like off by a couple pixels. They're just not aligned. But it's like when I'm getting to that stuff, like, okay, like that literally like that matters, but can't matter that much. And so I'll always go too far, realize it. And then like on the card where it was all being worked on, I took off all the things that are like, okay, like this actually isn't necessary. We'll deal with it later. But here are the things that like truly do impact usability. Long-winded way of saying like, how do you draw that line? And like, do you, when you say you're like more laid back, is it because you typically take the opposite approach with most things, or are there some things that you do get into the weeds on, or what's that like for you?
I'll talk about like how ideally I think it should be done, and then I'll kind of pick at myself a little bit. Like, I think that this ties really closely into OKRs, rocks or goals or key metrics or whatever you want to say, is like the way that I hope to communicate what I think should be done is through like these quarterly goals, right? I should be able to set with like the leaders of the teams, these quarterly goals, and the size of company and the pace that we move shouldn't change a lot in a quarter, right? And so everybody knows they have kind of the thing or a couple things that they should work on for the quarter. And then like weekly team meetings or individual meetings are to talk about progress or obstacles towards those goals. I think the other thing that the one-on-ones and the reviews should do is like career planning and career happiness and those kinds of things. And the lens through which I hope to be a good manager of these things is not to tell people what to do, but to present the vision, right? Of like, hey, this is where we want to go and this is why. Let's come up with like the path, right, that we think will get us there. And those are kind of the OKRs. And then the discussions in the one-on-ones and the team meetings are like, hey, what's keeping us from reaching these goals? And like the place where I'm answering your question, hopefully, is I don't want to give the answers to any of these, because if I do, then I'm always going to be like a restrictor to the process, right? Like what I want to try to do is enable everyone to think critically about how they're doing at their job and what they can do better.
Is everybody at a place where that's realistic? Because I guess like I think
at different levels.
If we were venture funded and we're able to just like bring in really senior people to handle like each of the departments, that makes sense. But regardless, even then, it's like not everybody on the team is going to be the strategic thinker. I feel like both of our teams have people who have great skills, but I don't think it's like everyone's job to figure out how to do something. And that's sort of what I struggle with, is like, I have a pretty strong opinion on some of these things that I'm like, I'm open. And I think I've done a good job of being open to criticism and questioning and everything else. Like I think the team knows, like if they say something that like I disagree with, I'll let them know. But like if they argue it and I'm like, oh no, like, that makes sense. Like, yeah, let's do that. Like, that makes more sense. Like, I'm definitely open to that. But I don't know that really, other than Matt, as far as product goes, everyone has a lot of ideas of like specific things. This would be really cool to do. Or like, oh, what if we tried that? But they're not thinking about it. They're not thinking about the bigger picture of how it fits into everything else. And I guess I feel like within that perspective, it makes sense for me to be a bit more prescriptive with the how to do something.
Yeah, 100%. And I think the answer to your question is it depends on the person and the role they're in. There are some people who absolutely are able to say, hey, this is how I think the dev team can get to the next level and have us create better products. And there are people that I will give that answer to and say, here's the strategy. We need to go implement it. And what we'll be checking in on is, hey, did you send 300 emails this week to sales prospects? And if you didn't, like, why? And what can we do to help unblock you there? So, like, I think it depends on like the person in the role and their kind of level of seniority and capacity. And I don't think that's wrong. And I think that they're, like you're talking about micromanaging, there are places where I can and should be more assertive in making those decisions. I think there are places where I know I'm not the expert and I shouldn't, and I should collaborate with people that are in more leadership positions to kind of help decide those things and then kind of check in on the progress towards those goals that we made more collaboratively.
Yeah, because I guess in a perfect world, I would have people on the team who could give. I do feel like at the end of the day, there's got to be someone driving the, obviously, the overall vision, but like even just like small, like strategically within marketing or within everything else. And that's going to require feedback and adjustment. But I think it's what gets tough is we can't afford to hire someone to do that for marketing and someone to do that on support and someone to do that everywhere else. So it's like, it's what we all feel, even at like the scale where we've grown significantly, definitely like default alive, but I have to still be that person. And it's easy to abdicate some of that, of just saying, all right, like, yeah, they might not necessarily be able to execute it the way I would like, or even like super well. I'm just gonna let them run with it. Fortunately, we're not really in that spot, but it's just, my personality is like, I'm just always going to be like, no, like we should really like, I'll just like work more time. I'll work more hours. I'll like figure it out. And I guess, yeah, that's kind of why it's more top of mind for me now. So it's like, that's not going to be an option forever. Like I can't, it was like last night we've been doing this content project to analyze the different contests that you can play and how to best allocate the money you're willing to wager on a given night in DraftKings. And there's like very different strategies for it, but we made an approach where we feel like we can objectively analyze those strategies and come up with a new one. And it's like, I thought this would take a week or two. It's taken a month, but it's because like we've just kept pushing. I'm like, oh, like this isn't quite there yet. We need to be more specific. We need to look at this. What about that? And we've gotten, like last night, it was a call it like, Eric is in Regina, Canada, which I believe is Central Time. So it was like 9-ish p.m. his time, like 10 mine. And it was just like on top of my mind. I was like, I saw he was online. He just sent me a message. I was like, hey, like let's jump on Zoom. And then it's like, let's figure this out. And we made some really good progress. But yeah, like that's not going to be what I can do in a month from now.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I guess, yes, more, this is more of just like almost like therapy session of just like trying to let go a bit more, but feeling like, but when we work together on it, because that's really how it was collaborative. It's like, we got such a good result. And that's why I'm just like worried about losing that.
Yeah. And I think for me, that's where like being involved at the planning and strategic phase is really important. And then if I'm able to get the goals and the key results, right, that will help us achieve those goals, then I shouldn't have to be involved in the strategy of how to do that thing, right? Because like the strategy and the tactics are already decided, whether we came up with them together or someone, you know, more senior just did them. That's my goal.
I guess like, I just feel like fundamentally that feels like a bit, I just think there's more nuance to it where it's like, even like with the example, and this is what makes it so challenging is like with the examples with the emails. Yes, like should you be tracking motion and making sure like these actions are being taken towards the goal? Absolutely. But like if I could write 300 really good emails versus like 300 shitty ones, and the results would probably be like 10x different. And so I guess like that's the thing, is it's just like so tough because not all effort produces the same results. And you're sort of, the more you leave it up, the less guidance you give, the more you're hoping they are able to figure out those highest leverage efforts to take. And I think many people aspire to do that, but it's not naturally how they think. Or it's just like they're not there yet on like the career journey and they don't have enough experience to like really think through it critically. And it's just like, all right, like then do we, what do we do? Like, is it worth it to make some of these efforts or what?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's definitely nuanced. It's definitely challenging. It's challenging that each conversation with a person, even within the same team, is different, right? Because talking to a more senior versus a more junior versus, you know, someone who's being more successful or not is a different story. The goal, though, is like setting the strategy and communicating the vision ahead of time in like a quarterly basis lets you have more focused discussions as you go along through that quarter instead of just like this open book, right? So that every discussion we have is like, hey, this is the world right now and it's pretty finite. Let's talk about those emails that you're writing. Let's talk about how you're responding to them. Let's talk about how those are contributing to success or not.
Yeah. And I think it's so, I talked about hiring an EA, extended the offer, it was accepted. We're just trying to nail down the timeline. Most likely, it will absolutely be full-time August 1. That's when I know I'll have the real bandwidth to successfully onboard her and work with her from there. But it's trying to figure out if like some slight part-time work to ease into it makes sense or would even just be helpful to me leading up to the baby. So I'll figure that out. But a lot of it was thinking about just how I delegate. And I think one of my shortcomings is definitely, I don't understand it, but like I just consistently feel like I don't, when I'm planning something out with someone, it's like I'm not clear enough. In my head, I have a very clear picture of what I'm looking for. And I just really struggle to communicate that. And I've gotten better with it, but it's just, doesn't matter who it's with or everything else, it's always like not what I was thinking. And I don't know if it's like what it is, but like that's something I'm actively working on. But I feel like that's my shortcoming. And so then it makes me have to give way more feedback afterwards to like kind of make up for the planning shortcomings up front. But yeah, that's sort of where I've netted out. I don't know that I'll have the bandwidth to really like deliberately try to improve that process. But I mean, when you get into the quarterly planning stuff, I know you use OKRs, but is there a methodology you follow for how you come up with them and how you flesh them out and make sure that they're actionable enough?
It's really challenging. And like, it's evolved quite a bit. Like I'll say that the one kind of hard rule is every key result like should have a number associated with it. Grow trials by this many or uptime of this percentage or average sales revenue of this or something like that. Like every key result should have a number so you can measure against that number. You know, and it could be like a binary thing each week. Like one of ours is number of support tickets in the queue Monday morning, right? It's either more than our target or it's less, right? And so that's just like they get 100 or they get a zero relatively. Or it's like uptime, you know, like how, like what was our uptime last week? And it gets a less binary number. I think like that's the important one. It is like everything should have a number so you can measure it like relatively easily. I think the more challenging thing is how do you represent the success of like an initiative in numbers, you know? And like, I think the classic ones that are really challenging are like support and development. You know, one of ours right now is code coverage percentage. And you can argue that like, that's a really bad metric to track. But if you have to have a metric to track, it's not a bad one. To then like, because our key result is be comfortable deploying on Friday afternoon, right? That's our O kind of part of an OKR, right? And because that encompasses like our confidence in building a new thing and deploying it without stuff breaking. But then like a key result to support that is code coverage and uptime and things like that. And so, yeah, it's an art and a science a little bit. I don't have it down and I'm doing a bad job of describing like how we think about it. But like, I think that's a pretty good example is like the O should be really subjective than qualitative. And it's like, this is what the future looks like. And then the key results are the steps that you take to get there. And then even underneath those key results, there's initiatives, which are like marketing is going to hold 10 webinars this quarter. And, you know, sales is going to send 300 emails a week and stuff like that to then generate the leads or have the sales calls or whatever.
If the steps are taken, the emails are sent, the whatever it is on the marketing, whatever any of the things are to get to the goal, if those steps are taken, but the goal is not achieved, whose fault is it?
I mean, mine. Like at the end of the day, everything's my fault. I think it means that the goal setting and like the whole OKR process wasn't right. We haven't run into that, to be honest. Like we haven't hit all or even like 70% is considered successful in the OKR world. We haven't hit that close of our OKRs and not achieved a goal that I know of. Like we've been either good or not good, and the key results were not good. And so that supported it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this is definitely a topic for another episode. But yeah, it's like I just feel like I come at problems differently, where to me, I'm just like every marketing effort, like a huge chunk of those just produce zero results. And so let's try to figure out the ones that produce the most results, and let's try to figure out how to get better results from those. And I'm more like, all right, let's just like dial in really deep and make sure what we're doing is most effective. Whereas I feel like your approach is often going to be closer to saying, if we do these things, I trust that you're going to execute them well enough. Like we got to do this, and it might be like more things to do, but if they all get done and it's with it, which is said in a way that's reasonable to do, we'll get there. Whereas like I just come at it from a different angle. And so it's interesting to just hear that, but I absolutely definitely get stuck in the weeds too much. And that might be where I'm at right now.
Yeah. And I'm sure what we're doing is wrong in very, very many ways. so we'll see. We'll see. I mean, I'll report back at the end of the quarter how this quarter's OKRs turned out, just in terms of that question. I think that could be interesting to look at.
Yeah. And but, now we got to wrap. We're supposed to talk about a potential business coach that you've been working with, and I just derailed it again. So next week, hopefully we'll have a bit more to talk about there. But as always, thanks for tuning in. Craig, it was great catching up. And if anyone has any questions, any thoughts, any recommendations for psychiatrists for me to just kind of like mellow out a little bit, all recommended and welcomed at a podcast at seekandscale.com. But yeah, we'll be back next week. See you, everybody.